Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome into the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. College basketball is officially back. We've had 2 days of games. We have more coming up this weekend. I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. I realize that we're now on day three of the college basketball season, but due to the holiday, I figured you as the listener and basketball fan would be better served getting to recap some of the games that have happened over the first 2 days of the season. We have some big Tennessee news to catch up on that I'm sure you know at this point, so we'll briefly go over those. But we've had some fun college basketball games already. We've had a couple of puzzling results, which, just like we did at the start of the college football season, would kind of be expected considering everything that's gone on with the pandemic and teams having to shut down and then restart and new players and coaches getting ushered into the college basketball season. So we will discuss all of that on the Behind the Arc podcast. I appreciate you checking it out, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. Thank you so much for checking out Behind the Arc. So everything got started on Wednesday, November 25th, except for Tennessee. The Volunteer Classic, as you know by now, was canceled. That was supposed to feature VCU and Charlotte. Tennessee was actually supposed to be playing VCU Friday, today, as I'm getting ready to record this on Friday morning. And that did not happen after multiple people within the Tennessee basketball program tested positive for COVID-19, including head coach Rick Barnes, who entered isolation protocols. That was then extended, and Tennessee has shut down its basketball program, all activities, through the first week or so of December. So Tennessee will not play in the Jimmy V Classic against Gonzaga on December 2nd. It will not play against Notre Dame. And Tennessee will now open its season on December 12th against Cincinnati, which Cincinnati ranks 59th in the KenPom rankings to start things off. They have not played a game yet. So ultimately, you're still waiting to see both of these teams in action. And for Cincinnati, you'll probably get more of a gauge against for them when they play Xavier coming up here in a little bit, when they come up next month, because Cincinnati's had a couple games. They haven't really scheduled any games in November, so they are scheduled to play Lipscomb on December 2nd. Then they'll play Xavier on December 6th. They'll play Furman on December 9th before facing Tennessee on the 12th. So by the time Tennessee faces Cincinnati, the Bearcats, as of now anyway, are scheduled to have played 3 games by that point in time. It's just unfortunate for Tennessee. Some really great matchups there. You remember what that VCU matchup was like last year, where Lamonte Turner had to hit the game-winning shot at the buzzer from the corner to give Tennessee the win. Tennessee Gonzaga would have been fantastic. Tennessee Notre Dame would have been awesome. But instead, Tennessee will play Cincinnati on December 12th, Appalachian State on December 15th, Tennessee Tech on December 19th, USC Upstate on December 22nd, and then SEC play opens up on December 30th when the Vols travel to Missouri. A lot, of course, could change between now and then. But that's a decent opening opponent for Tennessee. Cincinnati, again, a top 60 KenPom team, a team that, you know, we'll see what happens with John Brennan being in his second year and Jaron Cumberland no longer being there. But it's a team that beat Tennessee last year. And so, you know, the Vols would like to get some payback against the Bearcats, that game being played at Thompson Bowling Arena this time around. So Tennessee getting off to the right start. It takes away some of the resume building opportunities, not having Notre Dame and Gonzaga on there. But for Tennessee getting off on the right foot, it just puts more of an emphasis on SEC play. And I think a lot of schools are going to have to deal with that this season, where games are going to be canceled. Some of your resume opportunities, if you can get into these champions classics and some of these big time matchups, great. If not, there's only so much that can be done about it. And you've seen some big matchups already in the first 2 days. We'll talk more about those later on. But for some of these mid-major schools, it can be really tough. Tennessee's fortunate that it's playing in the SEC in a year where it's expected to be deeper. Now, you had some puzzling results early on in the first couple of days with LSU having some issues. Mississippi State clearly taking a step back with Reggie Perry and Robert Woodard being gone after the offense just had so many issues and a loss to Clemson earlier this week. So it's going to be a little bit different. Let's see how Auburn fares going up against Gonzaga at 11 o'clock Friday morning. Auburn did not look good in its opener, needing overtime to beat St. Joseph's, not St. John's, St. Joseph's. So you have some SEC schools that slowed down a little bit. Kentucky looked really good in its opener against Morehead State. And Arkansas kind of got an essential bye week getting to play against Missouri Valley, Southeast Missouri Valley, whatever they're called. Mississippi Valley State is what I was looking at. I'm getting Mississippi Valley State and Southeast Missouri State mixed up. But yeah, Mississippi Valley State handled easily by the Razorbacks earlier this week. But I think for Tennessee, having an opportunity to usher in some of these new guys against an opponent that's a little bit more winnable, because you were looking at potentially having to open your season in a neutral site game against the number one team in the country when Gonzaga could likely be going into that game with a handful of Power 5 conference wins. Gonzaga beat up on Kansas on Thursday afternoon. They're going to play Auburn today. And then going into that game against Tennessee, Gonzaga would have been battle-tested. Tennessee would not have. Not saying that Tennessee wouldn't have been able to win the game, but it's kind of a slight edge to Gonzaga to already be in that environment, playing in a neutral site game now that they're down in Fort Myers, and then going to Indianapolis to take on Tennessee. Gonzaga, I would have felt like, would have been more ready for that game. And Gonzaga is not holding its foot off the gas in terms of its non-conference schedule. As we've mentioned on the podcast before, they've got that game against Baylor coming up on Saturday, December 5th. Before that, they're going to play West Virginia in the Jimmy V Classic. So, and West Virginia is going to replace Tennessee. So you've got Gonzaga playing two top 15 teams next week. Later on in December, they're going to take on Luka Garza in Iowa on December 19th. So some big games coming up for the Bulldogs, and they are doing everything they can to make sure that their resume is what it needs to be. So what's happened in the first 2 days of the college basketball season? What can we look forward to this weekend? We're going to talk about all of that on the Behind the Arc podcast. But again, Tennessee not playing until December 12th against Cincinnati at Thompson Bowling Arena. Those high-profile matchups against Gonzaga and Notre Dame, along with the Volunteer Classic that was supposed to be played this week with Charlotte and VCU, is not going to happen. So Tennessee not going to have those big non-conference games as of yet. We'll see what Cincinnati ends up doing. That could look like a nice win if Tennessee wins that game, and seeing what Cincinnati does throughout the rest of the season. But as of right now, having to wait a little while longer. Again, the season was already pushed back from November 10th to November 25th for Tennessee. Pushed back even more so. We'll come back. The Behind the Arc podcast right here. College basketball is back. We have games being played. We'll talk about a lot of them coming up on the Behind the Arc podcast. So the first 2 days of the college basketball season have brought some results that you would kind of expect. They've also had some results where you're looking at it and turning your head sideways and saying, do what now? Like going back to some of the top 25 games on Wednesday, as expected, Virginia, Illinois, Ohio State, Houston, Iowa, all cruised. Kentucky cruised against Morehead State. Michigan State handled Eastern Michigan. North Carolina took care of Charleston. Texas Tech beat up on Northwestern State. Rutgers handled Sacred Heart. Texas beat UT Rio Grande. Wisconsin only beat Eastern Illinois by 10. And then a handful of games did not happen. Baylor, Arizona State didn't happen after Scott Drew tested positive for COVID-19. Arizona State decided, we don't want to play Baylor. They still went across the country from Arizona to the Empire Classic, not knowing who they were going to play. They ended up playing Rhode Island and then played Villanova on Thursday. So the Sun Devils did get a couple games in. Oregon's opener was canceled. Duke's opener against Gardner-Webb was canceled because Gardner-Webb had positive COVID tests. Gardner-Webb was supposed to play three high-profile teams with Duke, Georgia, and then
Florida State. So that has just not worked out, and those games are now off the table. But looking at some of these results, Michigan kind of needed to fend off Bowling Green late in that game. Juwan Howard, that team, remember at the beginning of last season, was a top five team in college basketball. They had a bunch of high profile wins and then really tailed off when the Wolverines got midway through conference play. West Virginia struggling to put away South Dakota State. And the Jackrabbits are a team coming out of the Summit League that they've been known to compete, but they're usually not going to be better than a 15 seed in the NCAA tournament. But that's normally a league that they win. Last year, that was not the case when North Dakota State knocked them out. A game that really impressed me a lot, Arizona State having to fend off Rhode Island. And Rhode Island was a team last year that was on the cusp of maybe getting into the tournament as an at-large team out of the Atlantic 10. We kind of saw that a couple times with different Atlantic 10 teams last year, because Dayton obviously was stealing the show. VCU, St. Louis, Richmond, Rhode Island were all teams that at one point or another were kind of jostling for position to see if they could get on the bubble. And if it wasn't for a couple of late losses last season, Richmond and Rhode Island, either one of them might have been able to sneak in. But a couple bad losses for both teams in the last 2 weeks of the season kind of put the kibosh on that. But Arizona State jumped out to an early 16-point lead, and Rhode Island battled back and at one point actually took the lead in the second half before Fats Russell fouled out with just under 6 minutes to go. They were leading by one at that point. They ended up losing by six. So you wonder what could have happened if Russell had been able to stay in the game. Jeremy Shepard and Antoine Walker took care of the scoring with 19 points each. I thought both those guys looked really good. Shepard does a lot of work out of the backcourt, and Walker has a ton of athleticism that he can use to get to the rim. But Rhode Island fell into some foul trouble. Arizona State did too, but more so Rhode Island. Two players fouling out. They had four players with three fouls or more by the end of the first half. Just kind of an undisciplined game, and Rhode Island's head coach talked about that after the game was over. But Ramey Martin, you saw why he was a preseason All-American. 26 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 9 of 15 from the field. Continued to drive and get easy buckets. Hit his first 5 shots of the game. I thought Martin was really solid. And they got scoring from their bench. They got scoring from the rest of the floor. Marcus Bagley, Marvin Bagley III's younger brother, looked really good. Josh Christopher, the 5-star recruit, who was a top 15 recruit, depending on which recruiting service you look at. The big 5-star that they were able to acquire had 11 points in his debut. And then with Tyshawn Cherry and Holden Woods, those guys each contributing 11 points off the bench. And that's the sort of efficiency, that's the sort of depth you want to see from a team that's looking to take a step forward in the Pac-12, especially with Arizona being down. UCLA did not get off to a good start on Wednesday night. And then Oregon, not having Peyton Pritchard, being a different look this season. Is this the year that Arizona State can ascend to the top of the Pac-12 and maybe take a step forward? But I thought, I was impressed with Rhode Island and the way that they competed. Shot 50% from three, 51% from the floor. Turnovers really hurt them in the early going of that game. And who knows what would have happened if they hadn't fallen into foul trouble. But that was a nice win, I thought, for Arizona State before losing to Villanova on Thursday night. And the Wildcats struggled to put away Boston College. They were on upset alert in the second half before being able to pull it out. And then Villanova followed that up by beating Arizona State on Thursday night. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, 28 points. You had Colin Gillespie with 11, Daniels with 14. The starters got it done for Villanova, only getting 7 points off their bench against the Sun Devils. And then Martin going out and just not being able to follow up what he did the night before. Villanova didn't let him get to the rim. He was held to 5 points. Christopher erupted with 28, and that obviously helped out Arizona State a lot. But this was a game that Villanova was kind of all over the Sun Devils throughout and took control of the game and really continued to separate there in the second half after it was so close at the break. So Arizona State, maybe a ways to go to really prove that they are legitimate and here to stay. Ramey Martin obviously has to be more consistent. Can't go from scoring 20 plus one night and then being held to 5 the following night, especially when you're playing one of the top 3 teams in college basketball. But Villanova showing why it's expected to be a national championship contender. That was a really nice win for Jay Wright's team. It's especially to follow up what was kind of a poor performance against Boston College. And again, Boston College picked to finish last in the ACC. Maybe they'll prove some teams wrong this year. Tennessee knows what that's like to be picked towards the bottom of the standings in the SEC and surprise a couple people just did that a few years ago. And looking elsewhere around what we saw in the top 25, I think for UCLA, just mentioned it a moment ago, San Diego State, a team losing Malachi Flynn, losing Yanni Wetzel, UCLA almost won a share of the Pac-12 regular season title last season. San Diego State goes out and wins the game by 15. So San Diego State showing that it can go out and reload and beat good basketball teams, because UCLA, entering the season as the 22nd ranked team in college basketball, they were expected to do some things. Tiger Campbell, not a great game. Chris Smith, not a great game. Those are the two guys you would expect to get more from. Riley and Jacquez Jr. combined for 31 points for the Bruins, but not getting it done on the rest of the floor. Shot just 39% from the floor and 33% from three. San Diego State, 46% from the floor, 39% from behind the arc, 16 assists, great ball movement for the Aztecs. Jordan Shackle having to kind of take the place of Malachi Flynn after the season he had a year ago. Shackle had 15 points, was 4 of 8 from the floor. I thought what San Diego State was able to do to kind of put away UCLA and do a nice job at getting a quality win for San Diego State, that's another mid-major that we thought, okay, maybe they're going to drop back this year and maybe they're not going to be able to reload. We might want to think again on that, because it appears that San Diego State could very well be here to stay. Not a ton of top 25 action on Thursday. You had Illinois beating up on Chicago State. Illinois played two cupcake opponents, but they have scored a lot of points. And Io Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn coming back is really going to make Brad Underwood's team a heavy competitor in the Big Ten. The big one, though, the top 10 matchup, Gonzaga and Kansas. Gonzaga was all over the Jayhawks throughout the entire game. A lot of tempo, a lot of scoring. You saw Gonzaga force takeaways, get open looks for Corey Kispert. Joel Ayayi was constantly able to get inside. Drew Timmy had great positioning around the rim. For Kansas, it is relying heavily on Marcus Garrett to do a lot of what Devon Dotson had to do last year. You have Christian Braun having to facilitate a little bit more. I don't know if he's going to be able to fill the void left by Dotson not being there in the backcourt. And then Kansas it needs to prove that it can have a very elite inside presence, no longer having Udoka Azubuike. Because for Kansas, it just really seemed overwhelmed by what Gonzaga was able to put on the floor. Timmy with 25 points, Kispert with 23 points, Jalen Suggs with 24 points and 8 assists, Joel Ayayi with 15 points and 9 rebounds. Gonzaga shot 64% from the floor against a top 10 opponent in a neutral site game. That is unheard of. And for Gonzaga to be able to do that, to constantly get good looks inside, they only took 18 three-pointers. That's not a good look for Kansas. And I saw Jeff Goodman throw this out on Twitter. Kansas does not have Kansas level talent this year. And saying that, they scored 90 points against Gonzaga, but that game turned into a shootout and Gonzaga really had control for a good portion. Kansas made it interesting. They were able to kind of trade back and forth with the lead a little bit. And then they were down by one with 10 minutes left to go in the game. Gonzaga kind of rolled from there. And with all the scoring threats they have on the floor, even without Filip Petrushev, for what Timmy was able to do on the inside, I think that goes to show how lethal this Gonzaga team can be and why so many people still had them as the number one team in the country, despite losing Petrushev to play pro ball over the offseason. So Gonzaga beats Kansas 102-90. Gonzaga getting ready to take on Auburn Friday morning. Kansas will play St. Joseph's in the Fort Myers tip-off Friday at 2 o'clock. And then the big game coming up for Kansas is that top 10 matchup against Kentucky in the Champions Classic. That's on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Kansas also playing Creighton later on in December. That's a Big East team that we haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of yet. That should be a lot of fun to watch with Marcus Zagorowski coming back. Creighton will open its season against Kennesaw State next Friday. But Gonzaga knocks off Kansas. The Jayhawks trying to bounce back. We'll see what that Big 12 is really going to look like, with Baylor expected to be towards the top as the number two team in the country to start off the year. And again, that game coming up against Gonzaga next month is going to be a real indicator of where this Baylor team is at. And so you'll, obviously, I don't like using transitive property in sports, but you'll at least have some sort of comparison with both Baylor and Kansas having played against Gonzaga. What can we expect coming up this weekend? There's games to watch. There's ranked matchups to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got the Thanksgiving Classics. The Champions Classic is coming up next week. Big matchups on the horizon. It's going to be a lot of fun. So glad that college basketball season is back. I'm sure you are as well, especially for Tennessee fans with that top 15 volunteer team expected to do some big things in the SEC this year. Having to wait a little longer, but still going to be a fun basketball season, I think, in Knoxville. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the Behind the Arc podcast. There are basketball games this weekend, and I am excited about that, and I'm sure a lot of you are as well. What do we have coming up on Friday? We've already mentioned Gonzaga taking on Auburn. Illinois is going to play another home game against Ohio. West Virginia taking on Western Kentucky. West Virginia had some issues putting away South Dakota State the other night. Western Kentucky followed up its win over Northern Iowa and knocked off Memphis in the Bad Boy Mowers crossover classic. Memphis, of course, took care of St. Mary's earlier in the week. There's a lot of talk about Memphis looking really good, and I was kind of watching this game, and it was impressive what Memphis was able to do using Landers Nolly to be able to help replace what they lost in the front court. Boogie Ellis had a big game coming off the bench. They still have Lester Quinones and Alex Lomax. They have good recruits coming in, have a good transfer with Nolly, and have veterans that are returning. So losing James Wiseman, Precious Achiuwa to the draft, you're still seeing that Memphis has a talented team. But there was a lot of chatter on Twitter about, hey, this is, you know, a good opponent that Memphis is beating. I just didn't see that. St. Mary's, I think, had excellent ball movement. They were able to generate open looks. They couldn't hit them. And that's where you're having to kind of adjust your philosophy a little bit, because you had a real talent, I thought, with Jordan Ford and Malik Fitz, both of them. Malik Fitz could get inside and get to the rim, had an ability to drive, had a lot of athleticism, could also hit from the outside. You also had a real good shot creator with Jordan Ford, and both those guys now have signed with the Los Angeles Clippers. I thought it was really impressive what St. Mary's was able to do last year, but I also thought they had a lot of talent. And a couple years before that, they were considered one of the biggest snubs in college basketball for the NCAA tournament. Last year, I think they were a lock to get in. They had some really good wins, including a win over Wisconsin in the season opener out at the Pentagon to start off their year. But for this team, they're now having to become a better ball movement team, having to get open looks. Tommy Cousy is now trying to replicate what Jordan Ford did last year. They just don't have the talent, I don't think, and they could prove me wrong. They bounced back with a win over Northern Iowa on Thursday. But for Memphis, I still needed to see a little bit more, because Memphis did look good. They started to let St. Mary's back in that game. Western Kentucky just went out and beat them, and that might be a team to look out for in the mid-majors, because you're talking about Western Kentucky with wins over Northern Iowa, which was a pretty good mid-major team last year in the Missouri Valley Conference, and then beating Memphis. So let's see what Western Kentucky does on Friday afternoon. That game set to tip off at 1:30 against West Virginia. And I think that could be a lot of fun to watch in terms of the ranked matchups, because I don't know how much of a fight Auburn can really give Gonzaga. The Tigers, of course, self-imposing a postseason ban for this season. They're probably going to be expecting more sanctions coming from the NCAA. And also on top of that, Auburn needed overtime to survive St. Joseph. So also coming up, a notable game between two power conference teams. Louisville is going to take on Seton Hall at 4:00. That's in the Wade Houston tip-off classic. Seton Hall no longer has Miles Powell. Louisville, a talented team that could be really good this season out of the ACC. I'm curious to see what the Pirates look like. Kevin Willard losing Powell. They still have Sandro Mumakalashvili coming back. I think that Seton Hall is going to take a step back this year, but we'll see. They're going to start their season off with a notable opponent on a day where there's not a ton of top 25 action. On Saturday, You only have two top 25 teams in action. Duke's going to open its season against Coppin State. Michigan State will play Notre Dame. So the Irish opening their season, that's Saturday night. So we'll see what Sparty really looks like after facing Eastern Michigan earlier this week. And then a game that I'm really curious about on Sunday afternoon, Kentucky and Richmond. Richmond has a lot of talent coming back. They've got a lot of starters coming back. They are thought to be one of those dark horse sleeper mid-major teams that could do some damage for the upcoming season. So I'm curious to see what Richmond does. And I'm not expecting them to beat Kentucky, but if Kentucky's not careful, that could be one that gets a little bit hairy. So watch out for the Spiders, because Richmond has been a team that's been talked about all offseason as one of those mid-major teams to watch. You'll have Rutgers going up against Hofstra. Ohio State will host UMass Lowell. Arizona State will take on Houston Baptist. And then Houston will take on Texas Tech. That's a notable top 25 matchup between two top 20 teams. Both those teams open up their season with a win. That's Sunday afternoon at 5:30. Michigan will face Oakland Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So it's you've got notable matchups. And the SEC getting going. Again, Auburn did not look good. Really, none of the teams that played on Thursday in the SEC looked particularly good. Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, Alabama all opened up their seasons with wins. Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia, and South Carolina have had their openers canceled. Mississippi State has opened up the season with back-to-back losses after losing to Clemson and then losing to Liberty. And again, when you lose Reggie Perry and Robert Woodard to the NBA draft, just a pair of guys that are going to be really tough to replace. Auburn needed overtime to get by St. Joseph's. And LSU was a 30-point favorite against SIU Edwardsville. And that game was a 4-point game in the second half. LSU went on to win by 13. But a team that had all this talent coming back, Javonte Smart, Trendon Watford, you lose Skylar Mays, but still just to have the expectations that you did and trouble putting that team away in the Billiken Classic, it was a little bit puzzling. Ole Miss had its game against Jackson State canceled. Today, you have Auburn and Gonzaga, Kentucky taking on Detroit Mercy. That game was actually canceled. And then Vanderbilt to get its season open up against Valpo. Saturday, LSU is going to take on St. Louis, another Atlantic 10 team. St. Louis has been kind of gritty the last couple of years. So let's see what they do against the Tigers team that did not look good in its opener. Liberty will take on South Carolina. The Gamecocks with A.J. Lawson coming back. Let's see if he's able to carry them with some wins this year. Arkansas will take on North Texas. And then Sunday, we mentioned that Kentucky-Richmond game. Georgia is going to try to open its season against Florida A&M. Texas A&M will take on New Orleans. New Orleans having lost to BYU on Thursday night. College basketball is back, and that is awesome. Again, Tennessee is going to open its season at Thompson Bowling Arena Saturday, December 12th against Cincinnati. Enjoy the college basketball. It is back this season. What teams are you looking out for? What notable mid-major teams am I not mentioning that I need to be mentioning? And are there any busts that you see on the horizon for some of these top 10 teams? Is Kansas really a top 10 team? Is Auburn really just going to plummet, not having a postseason to look forward to? Is Mississippi State in serious trouble being without Reggie Perry? Is Florida going to be a better team this season? Whatever you're thinking of, what are your thoughts on the Vols? What are your thoughts on Gonzaga? What are your thoughts on the rest of college basketball? You can reach out to me at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts and tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. Thank you for tuning in. It's the Behind the Arc podcast on the Sports Animal.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.